Morning. When I spoke yesterday at the funeral home, I said that today was the day we would have to confront the more difficult issues, and we do. It's not just a question of saying goodbye, which is difficult enough in itself. It's always difficult, no matter what the circumstances. But here we have another layer over top. It's a question of why? Why at such an early age? Somebody dies in their 80s or 90s, you're still mourning their passing, but there's a sense of they had a complete life. This man, born within 6 months of when I was born, that's not old. He deserved more than that. Didn't get to enjoy his retirement. Well, just play with his wife the way they wanted to when they retired. Why not? And of course, more than that, the disease itself. One of the nastiest diseases on earth. One that nobody would wish on an enemy, much less on a friend. He was at least spared the worst of it. The fact that the progress of his disease was so quick meant that he didn't have to go through the long, agonizing months that frequently characterize the very end of this disease when it takes its full 2, 3, 4 year course. And you wind up being trapped in your own body. He was at least spared that. But still, it wasn't an easy way to die. Wasn't easy for him. Wasn't easy for his family. Wasn't easy for anybody who cared about him. And there's part of us that says, why? In fact, there's a part of us that says, no, damn it. That's not fair. You can't do that. It's what Job said in that first reading. No, damn it. It's not fair. You can't do that. Job's friends were all preaching the traditional wisdom morality. God blesses you when you're good. Throws drops rocks on you when you're bad. Job, you caught a very large rock. You must have been very bad. He says, no, I can't fight God, but I'm not speaking a lie either. I didn't do anything to deserve this. Why did you drop the rock? And we here sit here this morning and ask, as Mark asked, ever since the diagnosis, we wrestled with it together. Why did you drop the rock? Why did this happen to me? I know that everybody has to die sometime, but not everybody has to die of this. Not everybody has to die this way. The answer that we get from the whole book of Job, we don't get an answer. We really don't. Job says to God, show up in person and explain this to me. And God does show up in person, but God doesn't explain it. He says, Job, where were you when I built the world? Where were you when I carved out the basin for the seas? Where were you when I put up the vault for the sky? Can you explain all that to me? Now you can read that two ways. One is, Job, how big do you think you are? What right do you have to ask the question? Or, more understandingly, Job, look, if I explained it all to you, you couldn't understand it. So let's not. Either way, what Job doesn't get is the answer he demanded. And neither did Mark. And neither do we. Nobody gives us a good answer to that question, why? When he obviously didn't deserve it. But you know what God does do? Instead of answering, God shares. God sent His own Son to be one with us in the fullness of our humanity and all of its weakness and all of its pain. And His Son was crucified, hung up on a cross to die in shame and in agony. And God didn't wince from that either. Didn't take it away from us or from Jesus. Didn't explain it. But God shared it. God has the same grief over Jesus that we have over Mark. God is with us because God has been there. That's the first thing. God was there with us. And then God reaches out and raises Jesus up from the dead. That's what Paul is speaking about in the second reading. God raised Christ from the dead. He shared our death, shared the worst part of our dying, but then conquered death by raising Jesus up. And the God who raised up Jesus will raise up Mark and will raise up you and will raise up me. That is the hope of our faith. And that is the ultimate answer to the question. We still don't understand why good people suffer outrageous things that they haven't deserved. But we know that that is not the final victory of absurdity or of suffering or of death. That the final victory is with meaning and with life and with resurrection. And this is the spirit of the kingdom that Jesus teaches in this gospel reading. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Doesn't mean we should mourn in silence, not ask any questions. Job got into the Bible by asking the questions. Jesus asked the same question. If his arms hadn't been nailed to the cross, you would have seen him shaking his fist at God when he cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is literally translated, my God, why have you abandoned me?" But translated into contemporary American would be more like, "God, where the hell was you when I needed you?" Mark can ask that question, if Jesus can. You and I can ask that question, if Jesus can. We won't get a real good answer. But God did go through the process with us in His Son. And God does lift His Son and Mark and us up in triumph at the end. So we lay Him to rest with our own grief and with our own unanswered questions. Let's be perfectly honest with our own anger at God. It's okay to be angry with God. Somebody has to answer for all the injustice in the world. And the God that I believe in is big enough to deal with your anger and mine. But through all of that, through the pain, through the questioning, through the anger, runs the hope and the joy that the God who has shared in our dying in His Son will give us a share in His resurrection in His Son. And so, suffusing all the rest, there is this confidence and this quiet joy for Mark now and for us later. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.